Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. This is Access Astrology, speaking to you from New York to begin with. Mark Waltz in New York City, and also
Ann Ortley in New York City, and hopefully Heather will be joining us shortly.
Right, and if Heather calls in, I think she'll be calling in from St. Paul.
Yep, she's roaming. She's home this week. Okay.
Yeah, it's
hard to keep track of that woman. She's always on the move.
She moves around a lot.
She does move around a lot.
She might be in Santa Fe.
Yeah. It is the holiday weekend. She usually takes off on holidays and does something. We don't really know where Heather is. We just hope she'll call.
Hopefully she's calling.
Hopefully Heather will call in. We love Heather when she calls in. She's like our fun friend
right.
out there in the West. But, yeah, that girl moves around a lot. I think it's the Aries in her chart. She's never still. I always thought I had a restless moon, but, you know, hers beats mine hands down. So.
Yeah.
Aries moon beats a Pisces moon, for sure. On the move, yeah.
Right.
I didn't want to throw in my...
Home is where you...
Huh, pardon?
Home is where you are.
Yeah, home is where you are. You're always where your home is. Yeah, no. I always want to throw my Sag midheaven in there, but I just doesn't do it. It just does not move that fast. But...
No.
At any rate,
no,
so...
You can do your midheaven right where you are.
Yeah, I know.
You don't have to move around.
You don't have to move around. You can just sit still.
The world will come to you.
Yes. It's the beauty of a Sag midheaven. Sooner or later, you meet them all.
Right.
Teachers, wise people, interesting folks, all good. So, we have an interesting week ahead of us, Mark. This is going to be a fun one, I think. Very busy.
Yeah,
it's a three-pager.
Right. What do you see going on?
The Mars. I'm so excited about the Mars in Capricorn. I feel so much better. I feel like I'm alive again. I was like, you know, those Sag Marses are really hard.
See, I like the Sag Mars.
You like the Sag Mars, I know.
Mine natally is Leo. So I know the fire sign energy for it.
Yeah.
It feels natural. But I like the Capricorn, too, because it brings an element of control.
And groundedness. Yeah, I mean, I'm feeling like I'm actually able to sit down for more than 5 minutes and get stuff done, which is good because it's been very un-getting stuff done, you know. Or getting stuff done, but then running to the next task, which makes me a little crazed. But, thank you, Mars, for being in Capricorn, where he's going to be for 40 days. And he's busy this week as he goes through the gauntlet of the early stuff in, the Aries, the Uranus.
The cardinal signs.
Cardinal signs. Yeah, he's a busy guy. He's just kind of cranking it out, playing with...
Right. It'll be exciting, that square.
Yes.
Our fabulous Pluto-Uranus square. Mars moves through it and gets us all riled up, so we're much aware of it again.
Right. Well, and he also, I think, with the, he's certainly, the Middle East is heating up. The sun in Taurus, you know, Israel is a Taurus country, so the sun in Taurus is hot on that chart. So it's a busy, active chart these days. So, so hopefully not too bad, but definitely running over there. And Mars also does, in addition to squaring Uranus, he opposes Ceres this week, and which is arguing with your mother or the feminine principle. Remember, Ceres is out of bounds this week too, so she's not in the mood to put up with Mars giving her a hard time. And sextile to Chiron, which is healing the wounds. I had a few people last week hurt their foot or break their foot or have car accidents and break their iPods as well as their foot, which I thought was interesting because I guess iPods fall in the category of Pisces Chiron. And then it's a pod. And then a sextile to Saturn. So, and then he's approaching the conjunction to Pluto, which of course is always a little heated, you know, on the world events stage because Pluto is war. But we'll see what happens. It's all involving. So that's my favorite part of the week. And I just find Mars in Capricorn just always makes me happy. I like my little Mars in Capricorn. It makes my natal Mars so happy to be organized and structured. So I felt like I actually accomplished some stuff and got some stuff out the door, which was great. And I have a big pile of things because I took some days off over Thanksgiving. I have a big pile of stuff to get out the door then. So that's my favorite part of the week ahead. What's your favorite part?
I'm good with that. I'll find ways to put that into motion. Because I do like Mars energy.
Yeah. Well, and Pallas Athena station's too on the 20th. She's at 22 Pisces, so she's stimulating all those 22s from all last year. And she's also trying to the sun and to the node of fate. So we should see some patterns we hadn't seen as she stations to go direct, which is always helpful because she's kind of where we're supposed to be a little smarter about things than not. And I think that just heard to have a bell in.
We may see some strategic breakthroughs.
Strategic breakthroughs, you think? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So Hi, this is Heather
Rowan Robin from St. Paul, just running late. Got in. I'm sorry about that.
Nope, that's okay.
And Mercury is so very retrograde.
It is retrograde. I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. We didn't even talk about that. So how is Mercury retrograde affecting you?
And Mercury retrograde always does me in because I have Mercury on so strategically placed in my chart. It's right at the beginning, and it rules so many planets in my chart. So when Mercury goes retrograde, things get screwy, one delay after the other today, just running late. But I did a good Mercury retrograde thing this weekend. I took a weekend on traditional astrology with Dr. Ben Dykes, who lives around here, and it was a great thing to look into the past and use old systems while Mercury is retrograde.
Cool. Was he teaching something in your area?
Yes. Okay. Yes, our NCGR chapter had him in for a weekend.
Cool.
Oh, okay.
And he lives in the area.
Yeah, because he just published a new book, too.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading about that and going, okay, it's my next book, bye, yeah. So it was a good workshop. He's a good teacher.
He's a very good teacher. Mm-hmm. He's a very good teacher. Yeah. And it is... So you were talking about what's been going on in the world?
Mars is in Cap. Yeah, we were just starting, so no worries. Feel free to pipe up.
Oh, by the way, that Mars opposite Ceres, that could bring us some news of how this drought is going to play out.
Mm-hmm.
The crop loss from the drought last summer.
It was pretty significant, yeah.
Yeah, and
I'm
it
just,
should start to show up.
Yeah, I agree with you. Whenever Ceres, the asteroid Ceres, which from the name associated with cereal, is affected, we do see that. Mm-hmm. Luckily, Neptune is beginning to trine that Ceres also. And I think I'm seeing water return in a few places, though not where we'd all hoped. So we're heading into Thanksgiving weekend with all the driving in the world. Everybody drives and drives back while Mercury is retrograde and as Mars squares Uranus and conjuncts Pluto. I'm a little worried.
Drive
carefully and double check your heating, overheating.
Right.
Yeah.
Get your fuel levels picked.
You know, we can just look at the headlines.
Mm-hmm. Be careful backing up.
That's very true. Or backing up over old issues. If old issues come up at the dinner table, let them go. Don't back up and run over them again.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It's so much fun to run over them again, though.
Yeah, it is.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, but with Uranus and Pluto in the mix.
Not so much fun, right?
Yeah.
Right.
It's going to be, and I bet Mars in Capricorn, it's exalted there. It loves that place. So, it's very hard for people to let go once they turn on something. I'm finding the ability to tackle drawers and closets that I haven't felt like looking at for a long time. It's like we can tackle tough chores.
Yes.
But once a fight is engaged, it's really hard to let go.
It is. You want to argue. You want to kind of go, because it just kind of roars out of you.
Right. And with that square to Uranus, I'm particularly worried about the Mideast because it is so explosive over there right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all the old issues stirred up again, very Mercury retrograde.
And some new ones because the eclipse is running too. And this eclipse is right on Israel's sun. So It's definitely not an easy, this is not going to be an easy eclipse for Israel. Or that whole area, I guess, that's a better way to say it, because it's just kind of a little tinderbox. And, of course, they haven't erupted with the spring, with the whole Middle East blowing up in the early part of the year. But now Uranus and Pluto are kind of back and stimulating those degrees. And Saturn, of course, is in Scorpio, bringing up 83, 84, which was, kind of a hot time in the Middle East then, too. So it'll be interesting. It's definitely not an easy time. I was looking also, Heather, at the Venus aspect. She's really a busy girl this week. She's talking to Chiron and Uranus and Ceres and Neptune. And she goes
Saturn.
And she goes into Scorpio, where she has not been for a while. So I was thinking of her as finishing up she's the last bits of the Saturn and Libra story, too, because she's rolling through it. And I had somebody write me and go, what the hell? How come all this relationship stuff's back up again? And I'm like, oh, it's because Venus is back at that last degree of Libra. So all the people that you had fights with in last January, February, or perhaps this September, are back. And you're kind of going, oh, wow, I did have an argument with you, didn't I? So there's a lot of wrap-up relationship stuff, too, I think, with this, because it's the last, she's the last one to leave, so she's turning the lights out on Saturn in Libra as she leaves and goes into Scorpio, because everybody else has already shifted ahead. But she's kind of doing the cleanup dance. So do you guys have any thoughts on her?
And what would you say the good and bad things are about it going Venus going into Scorpio?
Well, Venus in Scorpio is very passionate, but doesn't always listen particularly well. She gets a little bit like a dog with a bone. I have Venus in Scorpio. I know I can be like a dog with a bone when I get arguing about something. So.
Yep, and it has said Venus in Scorpio can be a little territorial.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the, if you're in a relationship that wants to deepen and it's, you've been flirting around the edges and it's time to get real with one another, Venus in Scorpio, Mars in Capricorn is real. What we say and do now, we mean. Or will take us places whether we mean it or not. So we have to be careful what we say and do. Those two emotional planets really mean the work they're doing. So it's good work together in relationships for many people. Venus and Mars are moving into a sextile. But we really have to be careful. I see that Venus set, whenever I see the Venus and Saturn dance with each other and here they're conjuncting, I see the need to be really respectful in relationships, even formal.
Formally respectful, yeah.
That's an important note to say what you mean and mean what you say with these aspects, because especially in relationship, it is true that, if you're not watching what you're saying, you may be signing up for more than you actually want, but you'll have to go through with it. Because these energies say, all right, if that's what you pushed for, then you have to complete it. So be a little careful. You may find yourself wanting to push for something in relationship. Reflect for a moment and say, do I really want to carry through on that? If I really don't want to carry all the way through, let me alter it now and make it, don't bite off more than I can chew.
I think that makes a lot of sense. I know for me it's always a natal excitation, too. And this particular one happens to be my actual planet, so I'm kind of looking forward to what's going to happen. Last week was already kind of an interesting week, so this week will be even better, I'm sure. Love those natal excitations, that little aspect of mine. I think when we're talking to people, it's understanding. There was an astrology conference this week in New York, and one of the women is one of my favorite speakers, Patty Canova, and she was saying, if you find you're having an argument with someone and they're arguing, kind of stop and then go, okay, so like, what are you saying? Say it again. And then, kind of say, so if I'm hearing you, is this what you mean? And it's like, yes, this is what I want. And I want you to do this. I don't want that. And it's like, okay, got it. it's understanding that we're all a little bit testy with that aspect. Because Venus-Saturn is it conditional love, or, you know, what's your belief about how that should work? And Venus has to speak, even though she's near Saturn, which can be hard for her, which I think goes to your thing, Mark, about being a little formal and being conscious of what she actually needs to say so that mm-hmm. she doesn't get herself in too much trouble.
Yeah, Venus and Saturn can look within and kind of, it can be resentful, but can also be focused. And Venus and Saturn conjunction, I see some really great artwork produced. If
yeah.
we can have Saturn serve Venus instead of Venus serve Saturn, where that structure and the work and the discipline can really serve the muse.
Hmm. Yeah. That's interesting. I never thought of it as artwork. Yeah.
You can really put things on a timeline that way.
Yeah.
Anything that you're sharing with people or anything that you're creating, be conscious of the timeline because that'll be part of the process.
Right.
So, you know, measure out the time and, you know, work with a calendar to get things done.
To make sure
sometimes
you can actually get it done.
The more spontaneous approach is the way to go, but this particular one is, you know, it wants to be scheduled and structured.
Right.
In a happy way. That's part of the creativity.
Happy scheduling. I like that.
Yeah.
Give me a happy schedule instead of an unhappy schedule. Yeah.
So do we have anybody waiting on the line?
I will look. I don't think so, but you never know. Hang on. I got to go to the studio.
So we give out the number.
We give out the number, totally. Yep. Hang on. We have the number 347-215-8881, 347-215-8881. We do have two people on the line, so we'll pick up 540-519. Hi, 540-519. You're on the air. How can we help?
Hello, it's Danielle.
Hi, Danielle.
How are you guys?
How can we help you?
It's 61381.
Wait.
And what time, Danielle?
9:30 a.m. It's an Alton.
And
Alton.
Where?
Alton.
What was the date again?
6:13 a.m.
9:30 a.m.
and where? Alton, A-L-T-O-N, Illinois.
Okay. And what's your question?
What's coming up as far as my love relationships?
Your love relationships. Are you involved in one now?
Well, I haven't heard from the Scorpio in 3 weeks, and the Leo I haven't heard from in 2 months.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's Saturn is coming up to your moon.
Okay.
With Mercury retrograde, you may not hear from either one of them for another week. The Leo feels very, very far off, and I'm not sure how well that relationship is going for you.
Yeah, it's not.
The Scorpio, yeah. The Leo, and Leo I think was fun, but I don't see the Leo being able to really see you very well.
Right. I've been with the Scorpio for 2 years.
Uh-huh. Did the Scorpio know that there was a Leo involved?
Yeah, I told him about him, but nothing happened between us, so.
Mm-hmm. Scorpios don't share well, even a little bit. But, you know, it feels like something about you, you know, your moon is in Scorpio, your sun is in Gemini, and your Mercury and Venus are in Cancer, so you get some real contradictions in your chart about who you're drawn to. Part of you wants that lighter, more outgoing energy, and part of you loves the broody, possessive Scorpio energy. And it's like some of the conflict has been between those two sides of you. You know, you're sort of at a place with the Scorpio where either you kind of have to get real and get serious with each other or let each other go.
Right.
And I don't think you really know which one you want yet.
Right.
But it sort of can't keep staying where it is. At least that's what I see. What do you see, Mark or Ann?
Mark, want to go first?
I'm still taking a look here.
Okay.
Right. Ann?
Hang on, let me pull it up. You know, when I look at your chart, I kind of notice the Uranus has been aspecting your Jupiter and your Saturn, really adjusting how you think about things. And part of the story right now with the eclipse in your fourth house and the nodes in your fourth house is really kind of foundational, meaning saying to you, what's the foundation you want to build for yourself going forward? And there's a lot of, you know, a lot of story about relationship when you were a little kid, you know, and you were 1 and 3 with your parents. And then 8, of course, was really big with the family relationships. And so I think really what this, a lot of this is to me, is really taking time to kind of clear out your own ideas about what relationships are. With Uranus sitting on the 7th house, there's a whole need for freedom, but then there's this fear, if you have the freedom, will you be loved? And, you know, the retrograde Uranus there in your fourth house kind of indicates you kind of bounce back and forth between connect and detach. So part of what I find with charts like yours is figuring out, you know, who you really are in relationship, and not necessarily what you saw your parents do, but okay, what you want, you know. And part of the Leo rising wants to be seen and honored and adored, and then the Sun in Gemini goes, yeah, honor and adore me, and then the Venus and the Mercury in Cancer goes, mm-hmm, but what if you do? Then you might leave. And so you get a little caught in it. So what I think the best way to work with a chart like this from my point of view is to say, okay, what I'm really looking for in relationship, and think about the people that you have really good relationships with that are not romantic, and what is it about those people that you're comfortable and you're able to be in partnership with, and then kind of be that energy, be who you really are when you're with them, with the people that you date. Because then what's going to happen is you're going to find people that can see both sides of you. But I think what happens is when you get in a romantic relationship, your chart kind of freezes, gets really anxious, and then you kind of either don't show them who you are right away, and then eventually you have to come out of the closet and be who you are, or you show them who you are right away, and then you think, oh dear, they're leaving, and I must have done something wrong, as opposed to, this is who I am all the time, I'm not going to change, you're meeting me the way I am, because your friends love you with the Sun in the 11th. And, mm-hmm, you know, your chart has the great ability to attract, but it's like showing who you are right from the beginning, rather than playing with some kind of weird set of rules that you got from your family about what they did in relationship. And with your chart, if you find yourself doing anything that your family members did, don't do it. You know, if you go, gee, this feels like what Mom and Dad used to do, you need to go, oh, my God, I better put that down, right? Because that's not a good way for you to be in relationship. So I would just say show yourself early on so that you magnetize in and you pull in people that want to be with you rather than whatever your idea of relationship is.
Yeah, and when you do that, you're going to feel deprived of a certain amount of friendship. And for you, it's best for you to go on the assumption that just a lot of people are not going to get you, or they get you wrong. So a lot of times when you think that you're putting yourself out there and you're showing yourself, they get the wrong impression. And you're going to have to accept that that's the case, but don't spend any more time with whoever those people are. And it's not that they're doing it deliberately or that they're dumb or anything. It's just the way things are set up. It's a little hard to read exactly what signals you're putting out, and nobody's fault. It's just that's the way it is. But it means that when people do get the message of who you are, then they get it on a lot of levels at once, and it's very rich. So go for the connections that that are very rich right from the start and that really feel fulfilling for you, rather than trying to make ones that are not, that don't start out fulfilling, rather than putting the energy into trying to make them go that way. Instead, just stick with the ones that are more rich and more fulfilling right from the beginning. And in a certain sense, cut your losses, you know, early rather than later, because you're going to end up not connecting with the people that don't get you anyway. And
that helps.
Sorry?
That helps.
Yeah.
Good. So you've got a lot of other things on your plate at the moment. You know, while you're trying to sort that out and seeing how you feel about them when Mercury turns direct and when you get that conversation going inside and listen to what, and to, you know, think about what we said, it looks like you've got some family karma slogging, as I think of it, just family work to do. And that your friends are really supportive around you, and you know your social life can be full, and they may be needing a lot from you in the months ahead. And so there's a lot on your plate to help you stay busy and stay connected and work things out, while you're to help give you more patience to work this through.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, good
luck. Thank you.
Pardon?
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yes.
Good luck with it. Have a good holiday, too.
Okay, you too. Thanks, guys.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye.
All right, let me see. We got another one. Okay. Hello, 111. Looks like a Skype call.
Hello.
We're on the air. Hi. Question, comment, how can we help?
I have a question. It's June 6, 1978.
What was it again?
June 6.
June 6, 1978.
Mm-hmm.
Time?
And what time?
Quarter after 1 p.m.
Place?
In Hungary.
Where?
In a city named Kecskemét, Kecskemét.
Okay, and what's your question?
I know, we've spoken with you before.
Yeah, a few months back, yes.
Not many other, either that or we have three other people from Kecskemét.
That could be it, too. I live in Toronto right now, though. My question would be about business. I have had a very difficult situation, and I'm very, very scared. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how to resolve what's going on.
And can you give us a little bit of an outline? And we don't have much time,
absolutely,
but we'll do our best.
They basically, some people stole my business, and the company's not doing anything about it. And I need to confront.
It looks, you know, I see the trouble that your chart is in, and it's really going to be necessary for you to choose what you're going to walk away from and what you can rebuild on your own terms in a different way this time and make it yours.
Mm-hmm.
And to not try to hold on, it looks like to me, with what, you know, don't struggle to hold on to something. I would say struggle to put that energy into building something of your own.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that what you see, Anne?
Yeah. I think it's very much about the direction. You've got a lot of stuff when Uranus on the seventh saying, you know, it's kind of let it go and move on and don't spend a lot of time here. Part of what happens with your chart, this is like some old thing that's resolving itself. But with Pluto opposite the Jupiter, if you take the time to say, okay, that's finished, let me leave, and rather than spending time and energy with them, it feeds them if you play with them. I would just walk away from this. And I would get, you're having a big Pluto transit, I'd get the Power Book by Robert Greene, because it talks a lot about how to deal with difficult Pluto energies, And I think that would help a lot because it'll help you understand how to handle it. So the British lady's talking. So we're done. Goodbye, everybody. Yep.
Okay. Have a good holiday.
Good luck. And that must hurt.
Have
Take care.
Day.
And everybody have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Have a great Thanksgiving. Merry turkey. Bye.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.